And welcome back to OXPM. I'm Gavin Richardson.
And I'm Grant Bellchamber.
We hope you've had a wonderful week thus far. We can't wait to show you what we have in store. Grant, could you give us an update, a little bit about what's been going on this past week with OXPM? We had our website launch, our first podcast. Just give us some details on that.
Yeah, so we've been working hard on getting content up. We have some write-ups. We have a sketch artist named Tom Godfrey, and we have a write-up on him up on the site. And I recently interviewed a pop punk musician from Canada named Jules McCools, and so that write-up will be published later today. And we have a couple other write-ups lined up. I'm interviewing a rapper from Milwaukee, and I've reached out to a couple other musicians I know, but hopefully soon we'll be able to branch out into some poets and some painters and whatnot. So yeah, just exciting things coming.
Definitely. And if you have any inquiry about wanting to be on the show, be on the website, or anything related to OXPM, you can reach us at OXPMUK@gmail.com. Once again, that's OXPMUK@gmail.com. You know, Grant, it's funny to see, you know, in my personal opinion, it's funny to see, one, the development of a skill, not only within yourself, but around you. You know, seeing people learn maybe how to play the guitar, maybe how to edit a paper, even. It's fun seeing that, because it speaks, one, to me artistically and in life, you know, maybe from a philosophical point of view or whatnot. And I think that's what we get here. And I think that's what we get in the episode today. And Jack Jones, who was our guest, really, to me, envelops that sort of spirit in learning. His background, which I think you could talk better than I could on, really speaks to the development of a lot of different things. His classical guitar playing, things like that. So give us a little bit of background on our guest today, will you?
Yeah, so Jack was born in Exeter, and he's been playing guitar for about 10 years. He's a classically trained guitarist, so in his music, you'll hear a lot of the finger-picking techniques that come with classical guitar. But he told us before we recorded that he's been playing on and off for 10 years, and so you can really see the development of his style. He has a very unique voice and a very unique way of playing that I think really shows through in the fusion of his music. And I think that I completely agree with what you said. And to that point, we've been learning how to do this whole podcast thing. This week went significantly smoother than last week. Shout out to Ed. And I think that...
Yeah, big shout out to Ed.
Yeah, for sure. He worked with us as we figured out the whole recording setup and whatnot. So this week went significantly smoother. The editing went a lot smoother. We're learning more and more how to do this every week, and I think it's going to show through in the final product, including the visual diary, which you guys can check out right below the link to this audio on the website.
And that, a brief summary of that visual diary will be posted on our socials at OXPM_UK on Instagram and Twitter. So definitely make sure to go check that out. Feel free to post it elsewhere if you like, and we hope you enjoy that.
Yep. And just to recap, this week we're having Jack Jones on. He's a friend of ours. He's going to be performing three songs. They're called Echo Chamber, Indigo Hue, and Walking Home. And we're very, very excited to share this with you. We hope you guys enjoy it very much.
We'll see you in there.
Three songs today. This first one's called Echo Chamber. It's the first one that I ever wrote.
When the lights in your eyes, golden bars, they come alive, And the breeze in your hair passes by, they stop to stare. You look for solace in your sleep, but the dreams they make you weep. Echo chamber of your falling, yet you still feel so alone. It's so easy to despair when you think that no one cares. Oh, how wrong you would be if you were lying next to me. Burst upon your windowsill, hoping you would be fulfilled. Melancholy, you have been always looked at, never seen. And you were always taught to find, and people, goodness, left behind. Melancholy, you will stay. Those people, they all looked away. It's so easy to despair when you think that no one cares. Oh, how wrong you would be. You are lying next to me. When the lights in your eyes, blues and greens, they come alive. And the breeze in your hair passes by, they stop to stare. You look for solace in your sleep, but the dreams, they make you weep. Echo chamber of your fall, yet you still feel so alone. It's so easy to despair when you think that no one cares. Oh, how wrong you would be. If you were lying next to me, if you were lying next to me.
This next one's called Indigo Hue. And, well, I wrote it before going off to uni, and it's very, very, well, quite heavily based on my girlfriend. But anyway, let's go into it.
Sometimes I find it hard to sleep at night. Can make it through the darkness without some kind of a fight. Wondering who I'm meant to be. Wondering what you think of me. But yet I still tell you I'm alright. When you left me yesterday, I couldn't find the words to tell you to stay. The thought of your last kiss on my lips, the thought of your hand still on my hips, but yet I just waved as you walked away. But if you're looking for forever, I'll take the batteries out of my clocks, and I'll stay with you here in this moment. But time has stopped. See, you were red when I was blue. When we touched the sky, took on an indigo hue. And I hope that you'll never decide. Purple ain't the color for you. But if you wind up your watch, and if you restart time, just know that you're eternal in my mind. know that you're eternal in my mind. Well, I guess that I overthink sometimes. This big brain is the biggest enemy of mine. You were my light in the dark. You were my beautiful spark. Yeah, I promise you that this time I'll be fine. But if you're looking for forever, I'll take the batteries out of my clocks, and I'll stay with you here in this moment where time has stopped. So you were red when I was blue, but when we touched the sky, takes on an indigo hue. And yesterday you told me purple was the color for you. But if you wind up your watch, and if you leave me behind, just know that you're eternal in my mind. Know that you're eternal in my mind. But if you begin for forever, I'll take the batteries out of my clothes, and I'll stay with you here in this moment when time has stopped.
Okay, this next one is one that I finished writing very recently, and it's called Walking Home. It's a bit of a different vibe to the other ones.
Dark outside and it's cold, and I'm walking home. Traffic lights chase to stop, although there's nothing to go. But it's dark outside and it's cold, and I'm walking home to you. When it's raining since you left me, running down my window pane. Ever since you left me, I haven't been the same. When it's dark outside and it's cold, and I'm walking home to you. You say that you want me, but I know that you're done. You're only trying to get me to pick up the phone to you. Why don't you call? You say that you need me, but I know your game. I'm not even sure if you really know my name. So why don't you go? It's dark outside and it's cold and I'm walking home. It's just the last chance to step, although there ain't nothing to go. It's dark outside and it's cold and I'm walking home. Say that you love the spring, and that your favorite month is May. Well, I'd be there to hold you even when the skies were gray. But when I call your name, well, I wish you'd do the same. You're a parasite on my brain. It's dark outside and it's cold and I'm walking home. The traffic lights chase the step, although there ain't nothing to go. It's dark outside and it's cold and I'm walking home to you. Well, it's raining since you left me, running down my window pane. Ever since you left me, no, I haven't been the same. But it's dark outside and it's cold, I'm walking home to you. Why don't you call? You say that you need me, but I know your game. I'm not even sure if you really know my name. Why don't you go? Oh, it's dark outside and it's cold, and I'm walking home. Traffic lights chase the stop, although there ain't nothing to go. It's dark outside and it's cold, and I'm walking home.
Jack, thanks so much for that, man.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Wonderful performance. My personal favorite, I have to say, was Echo Chamber, the first one. I don't know whether that's a product of you having played that for a while.
Or Yeah, well, it was the first one that I ever wrote. And, well, it got quite a bit of recognition back home, actually. I won a songwriting competition with it. And at the time, it was the only song that I'd ever written. So that was quite cool. But yeah, no, I've got lots of positive feedback for that one, actually. Which is, well, yeah, really nice. I guess it's because I've played it for the longest, yeah.
Well, I mean, I was going to say that, or just the fact that it's a good song. I mean, honestly, you know, it could be simply put, it is a good song. Clearly, if you're getting recognition for it. Now, when did you write that song?
Oh, it must have been maybe one or two years ago now. About 2 years ago, I'd say. Yeah. No real inspiration, really. I kind of went into it thinking I wanted to write a song because I was doing live music and stuff at the time, and that's what everyone else was playing. So it's like, oh, got to get a bit of that action, you know. But didn't really have anything in particular. So in a sense, that's what I kind of wrote it about. I kind of wrote it about not really having anything, but knowing that there's stuff out there, if that makes sense. But I tried to frame it so it was more like a love song-ish, because I kind of thought that's what people were going to want to listen to. But the meaning behind it is more like, even though it feels like, I don't know, not even sad, but just like numb, there's always going to be something there to pick you up, sort of thing. And that was the kind of thinking behind it.
And tell me, so we talked earlier, before we got to recording, you said you'd been playing guitar for around 10 years now, yeah?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that and, you know, your background in general.
Okay. Yeah, well, I started playing about 10 years ago. I started off doing classical, like Spanish guitar sort of thing. And, my parents really got me into it. So my mum's very musical, and she does, well, stuff like this. She's a pianist, but she does like gigs and live music and stuff. So, and she wanted me to go down the musical type route. So that was why I started initially. But I really enjoyed it. I found it quite liberating, like to be able to create something. You know, well, initially it started off a bit of a chore, and well, I moved from classical music onto more like rock and pop sort of thing, and I got an electric guitar because I thought, oh, you know, teenage boy sort of phase, that's really cool. So I got a guitar, and I did rock and pop for a bit, so like a bit of grunge, bit of like Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit, that sort of thing. Like that's what kind of made me want to make the switch. But then I got bored of that as well, and I've kind of found like a happy medium sort of in between. So my style is acoustic, but it's very much like kind of pop orientated, but it's all finger style. Well, that's my main thing, is finger style rather than strumming chords, and that kind of takes on from the classical stuff that I did right at the beginning. So yeah, that's my background. That's how I've got to where I am now. Yeah.
You mentioned that you had won a songwriting competition in your hometown. Where is your hometown? What is that?
So I come from Exeter. It's a town in the southwest of England. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And what's the music scene like there? You mentioned your mother was very musical, but how did that influence kind of when you were coming up and that kind of thing before Oxford?
Well, there's a big open mic circuit in Exeter, and there's lots of buskers as well, which is something that surprised me actually coming to Oxford, because the open mic circuit, the quality of musicians playing at open mics is a lot better than back home, but you don't really get any buskers, which is something that quite surprised me. Yeah, and back in Exeter, it's very much, there's lots of people on the streets, so they'll be walking down the main high street, it's not very long, but you'll have like at least three or four people playing, no matter what the weather, they'll be out playing there. And so that's what really, that's what kind of, I guess, made me want to play live, because obviously playing in your bedroom is a bit different to then getting out in front of people and playing, especially your own original music. But that's what kind of wanted to do, I guess, partly for the money side of things, but mainly because, like, as a little kid, you just look at these people playing, and it's like, wow, that's amazing, that's so cool, I wish I could do that. And so, yeah, well, now I am doing it, so, yeah. That's how the music scene in Exeter helped me, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Now I'm curious, do you think bouncing off of the Oxford open mic and busking scene, do you think that as an Oxford student, the term time and just the intensity of everything going on impacts that sort of busking scene? Or do you think it's more so related to people who live here year-round, people who are here for more than 8 weeks at a time and then going back to maybe a different city or even a different country? What do you think about that?
Well, I think in my experience, the intensity of the workload has made me want to do that sort of thing more. Because it's a release from having to write essays all the time or do lots of reading in the library, and then at the end of my week I can go down to the piano bar and play some songs. You know, it's quite, yeah, it's quite nice and liberating. It's nice to have that thing to look forward to, and then throughout the week I could be practicing songs that I want to play, or I can be learning new ones or writing new ones. So in my mind, the intensity kind of pushes me towards doing more of that sort of thing, as to take my mind off the stresses. But I think the buskings, why there's aren't many buskers, I don't think that's a thing to do with students. I think that's just, the people who live in Oxford, for some reason, I guess maybe because the standard of musicians here is so high that they can just get gigs and they don't feel the need to busk, whereas the people who feel the need to busk aren't so talented, or whatever other factors that might influence it. But I don't really know, to be honest, but in my experience, the intensity makes me want to play music more.
While we're on the topic of the Oxford music scene, this is kind of a little bit more of an open-ended question, but you mentioned that you enjoy the open mic night circuit here.
Yeah.
I do as well. I was wondering, what would your hope be for the Oxford music scene in the coming years? Like, what would improve it? What is just something that could be added to it? Very open-ended, but...
In all honesty, I'm not too sure because, well, compared to back home, this is the best music scene that I've experienced. And in terms of the quality of musicians playing, it's the best that I've ever experienced. So back home, if I went to an open mic, I might end up playing for like half an hour because there's not enough people have turned up. But here it's really busy and really vibrant. So I wouldn't say there's anything, there's nothing that I've got in my head that I'd want to implement to improve the music scene. I think it's pretty well formed as it is. Me personally, I'd like to get out and busk a bit, because then you reach a different type of audience, and then if I've advertised myself, then people walk on the street, they might see me, think, oh, he's a bit crap, and move on with their lives. But then some people, I've kind of had people come up to me, say, back home, oh, I really liked that, or I played a song, Eric Clapton cover, Tears in Heaven, and then this old woman walks past, comes over, listens to the whole thing, and then comes up to me afterwards almost in tears, saying that it was her dad's favourite song and he died a month ago, and that she really appreciated me playing it, really liked it. And the fact that I had the confidence to go and do it in the street was really refreshing, and I should be proud of myself. So that's something that I want to get from playing music. And I feel like if I myself went out and bust a bit more, went out and did more, a different variety of things and played different settings, then maybe I'd feel more fulfilled in that way.
Yeah, I think that you struck the nail right on the head, man. And just the fact that there's so much more to get out of music than meets the eye. You know, like you said, that lady coming up to you in the street. It's a powerful moment, you know.
It really is, yeah.
You know, I think that's what develops you not only as a musician but as a person too, is realizing the impact that you can have. And I'm curious to see that the intensity of the term actually brings you closer to wanting to engage yourself in those outside activities. I think that's refreshing for myself, because I've found that, you know, since being here, much different environment than the U.S. both academically and culturally, you know, no need to even explain that. It's nice to know that people still, no matter where you're at, people will still push through that adversity of maybe the overarching cloud of whatever you have going on, and you know, still find ways to have that balance.
Yeah, well, to use your metaphor of the cloud, it's like it's the sun that shines through it, sort of thing. So I can look at my weeks ahead and think, oh, I've got all of this work to do, and I've got all these commitments to meet, and I've got, oh, I said I'd do this, so I have to do it. But then music at the end of it is like, yeah, it's my way of unwinding. It's because I think it's important to have a way of unwinding, because otherwise all you've got is the stress just builds up, and then eventually it becomes overwhelming. But music's like a medium to express the stress and embrace it, as well as to escape from it. So it works both ways, depending on how you want to utilize it for yourself. Yeah, I think.
Now, does that sort of theme play into any of your songs?
Well, I've written a new song recently, not one that's that I play today, but it's very much about life in general and how it can wear you down. So it's called Nevermind, and it's about, so I tell the story of well, a single mother basically is what I base it on, but that I kind of use that as a microcosm for feeling alone in the world, and that you've got all these pressures. So in this in the song, it's about how she has to feed her children and she has to work these jobs so she can provide, and how she goes to every day and people tell her that, oh, you're doing so well, like we're so proud of you, when actually it feels like you're clinging on for dear life, sort of thing. So yeah, I want my songs to be more than just stuff about, oh, I saw this girl and she's fit. And I want it to have a bit more meaning to that. And well, I don't know if it's coming across. I hope it is, and I hope that songs in the future will get that across. But yeah, I'll just see where it takes me, really.
I think that's definitely coming across, at least in some sense. And so that kind of segues into another question I had is, I guess it's not what your aspirations are as an artist, but where do you see yourself developing as an artist? So rather than like achievements or accomplishments, where do you see your art going in the future? What would you like to do?
Well, it'd be really nice if I could, well, if it could be something that becomes a greater part of my life, because at the minute it's kind of like a side quest, if you like, and my academics are in the forefront of my mind and then music's on the side a little bit, so it'd be nice if it could come into the fore a bit more. But then I'm resigned to the fact that the music industry is a very tough industry to be successful in, and while I'd like to get a bit more paid gigs, for example, and I've had a taste of that already, and it's something that I very much enjoy doing. I think that the most important thing for me is that it keeps on being this kind of mental release for me, and that's the most important thing fundamentally. And while it'd be nice for more people to come up and say, oh, I really like your music and you're really talented, and oh, this, I really like this song that you played, and oh, this song that you wrote is really fantastic, yeah, that's nice, but ultimately it's music's a very personal thing, and that's what makes it performing it so nerve-wracking, because you've put a little bit of yourself in your songs, and that you want people to like it, but ultimately it's the fact that you're putting yourself into the songs that's the important thing, and recognition comes second, I guess, if you like.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that overcoming the hurdle of kind of that like performance anxiety or stage fright, not to say that you had that, but just that general thing, would you say that's the biggest challenge you've overcome in your creative process, or would you say it's a different one?
Yeah, I think so for me. So I started off playing covers, like solely covers, and it was nerves to start off with, but ultimately, if you're playing a song that everyone knows, they're all going to get up and start singing along, and then like that, the nerves melt away. So when you're playing original stuff, it's definitely more nerve-wracking, because as I said before, it's more personal, and you don't know how people are going to respond to it, because they've never heard it before, and they might be completely disinterested and stop listening to you, and that's obviously not a nice feeling. So I think, yes, definitely it's the nerves of performing, and writer's block as well. Like I can be writing a song, it can be almost finished, and I decide that actually I don't like it very much or something like that, and I think the lyrics aren't as profound as I want them to be. So, and it's very I feel like I have to be quite disciplined in myself not to throw away my work just because I have a bad day and I think, oh, this is crap. So yeah, some days it's a lot easier than others. Some days I feel like I have no talent, and other days it comes quite easily. So it's about catching the wave, if you like, and riding it to its full potential.
Yeah, I think your process, from what we've seen in those three songs that you performed today, really speaks to what you just said there. Because I think you've really developed a certain sound for yourself. When I was thinking about it while you were playing, a lot of those hammer-ons that you have throughout your songs, echo chamber, do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do, and then the pull-off, it felt like there were many instances, whether or not that's the exact technique you use throughout, you know, some of your songs or a wide array of your songs is a different story, but you have a certain sound that you've developed distinctly, and I think that really speaks to the process that you talk about and the hard work, and also going back to the beginning of this discussion, to the training that you've had before. And, you know, it's a curious thing seeing how you can develop, you know, whether over 10 years from going playing what some people would consider the most sophisticated style of music and classical guitar,
yeah,
and then going to what some might consider the most the least sophisticated style of music, like Nirvana and Teen Spirit,
yeah,
and all that good stuff. You know what I mean? but it's nice. It's curious. And I'd like you to talk about a little more about the ebbs and flows that you see, not only within yourself, but, you know, maybe you have a creative circle that you,
okay,
that you talk a little bit with, and, you know, maybe speak to some of your close friends in the creative aspect of your life, and what you see from a hills and valleys standpoint, okay, if you will.
Yeah. Well, in terms of a creative circle, it's only really ever been my mum who I bounce ideas off, because obviously she's musical herself. And I try and do things by myself primarily because the songs are meant to be for me first and foremost, and then people liking them comes afterwards. Although recently the last song I played is obviously a little bit different to the first two, and I've been trying to vary what I'm doing a little bit more. So I'd like to think that I do have kind of a unique sound, but I found that people perhaps don't respond as well to that if I'm playing live, and they want something a little bit more upbeat, and in terms of the rhythm they want something that they can get dancing to rather than my slow finger picking and, well, as you said, put on as a hammer offs and all that sort of thing. I quite like it because I think it sounds quite technical, and you can make nice riffs out of otherwise quite boring chords. But I've tried to introduce a different sort of style of song while still staying true to my sound, if that makes sense. And that's mainly due to the fact that I'm performing original songs live a bit more now. But yeah, well, considering I've been writing for about 2 years, I really don't have very many songs because I tend to wait for inspiration rather than force it. And I find that other than Echo Chamber, which I didn't really write about any one thing in particular, it's a lot easier to... I can write a song within a day if I have something that's very poignant within my mind that I'd want to get out on the paper or get out through a riff playing on my guitar. And that's something that I think is quite important in writing songs, and it's easier to embrace your emotions through that, and accept them, which is something typically as males we're not stereotypically so good at doing. So that's also another vehicle that my writing songs takes on for me. Yeah.
Yeah, the stereotypicality, man.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
So we talked about Echo Chamber. I want to hear a little bit more about Indigo Hue,
okay,
personally, and just that's such like a vivid picture,
mm,
yeah,
to me. And so I was wondering what the inspiration behind that was, the song as a whole, and also specifically the Indigo Hue part of it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, as I said, I wrote it just before coming to uni, and at that time I was quite, I guess I didn't really know what life had in store for me in that sense, and I had to say goodbye to my now girlfriend, and that kind of kick-started the whole idea of, oh, I'm leaving my home sort of thing. I mean, it's particularly more important for you two probably seeing you in a different country, but for me it's like, oh, I'm leaving home, I'm not going to see these people who I've lived every second of every day with for the last 18 years, I'm not going to see them at all really now. How am I going to adapt to that? And that's what I try to get across, as well as the fact it was based on my feelings towards my girlfriend, but it was also feeling like a fear of the unknown, but also an excitement in some way. So one of the lyrics is I'm wondering what I'm meant to be, and I'm wondering what you think of me. It was along those lines, and that's kind of the idea I'm trying to capture in some of the lyrics, is the idea that I'm not really sure what I'm going into, how I'm going to adapt to it, what's going to come out the other side. And yes, as I said before, it's like embracing that worry and turning it into more of a good thing. And while there is this, while I'm leaving it behind, it will still be there stuck in me, hence internal my mind and that lyric. And well, the indigo hue kind of relates back to my girlfriend in particular. So you're red when I am blue, in the idea that when I'm down, you're there to pick me up. And then obviously red and blue make purple. So come back there. So that's where indigo comes from. But yeah, that's really, that's the crux of that song.
Very clever, I will say. You. I will say.
Thank you.
An eloquent simplicity, man. Yeah. Do you have anything else you'd like to touch on, kind sir?
I don't think so. I think I've covered quite a bit, actually. Yeah.
We have. It's been nice. Jack, is there anything you'd like to, like us or the people to check out extraneous to this? Any social medias we should go find about you?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at Jack Jones Guitar, no spaces or anything. And you can also find me on YouTube under the same name. If you look up Echo Chamber, for example, that's one that I've got on YouTube. So Echo Chamber, Jack Jones, you'll be able to find me.
Any plans in the future to release anything on Spotify or anything?
Yes, definitely. Well, I was looking into that before coming to uni, but as I said, academics kind of forced their way into the forefront of my mind. But hopefully in the near future, I'll have stuff on there. Yeah, definitely.
Perfect. Would you mind doing a little outro for us real quick?
Outro. Well, my name is Jack Jones. I hope you've enjoyed listening to my songs and listen to me unpick them. Thank you very much to Grant and Gavin for having me on. It's been a lovely experience. And yeah, hopefully my music will continue to bring me happiness.
Don't forget to visit our website at oxpm.com and to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at oxpm_UK. That's oxpm_UK.